Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, just after President Donald Trump's inauguration in 2017, the New York Times printed a piece titled "Why 1984 is a 2017 Must-Read," and it was by Michiko Kakutani. Now, this is really kind of an amazing thing. Remember, Orwell's classic dystopian novel, 1984, was first printed in 1949. But it hit the Amazon's bestseller list the week after the inauguration. Now, remember, this book is nearly 70 years old. Now, it is interesting, if you read this New York Times article, and I'll let you, try and find that for yourself. It's still available online. Kakutani attributes the book's renewed popularity to the advancement of high-tech in-home electronic devices such as Amazon's Alexa, which definitely does have the capability to listen in on people's communications. Now, we also know that Apple has created products like the iPhone, iPads, the iMac computers, and they have two-way cameras. So the potential to have a Big Brother telescreen installed in your home is a reality. Now, I just also want to say it's very interesting. There is an article posted today on thetrumpet.com by Richard Palmer titled "A Surveillance State, A Preview of Your Future." Now, this article discusses China's Sharp Eyes project. Now, what the Chinese want to do is they want to link millions of security cameras already operating to be able to create a single surveillance platform for their massive population. So this is really going to be achievable. And the point that we need to take from all this is the technology exists to recognize faces, recognize locations, and then this information can be, processed back to a central location with rapid speed. So it wasn't unreasonable for Kakutani to say that the technology does exist to pave the way for a country like China to fully create a 1984 kind of scenario. Now, Richard Palmer does say in his article that we're not quite there yet, and especially in some other countries of the world, like the United States and Britain, that might be a really hard thing to sell. But still, the technology does exist. But the thing that I want to draw your attention to in today's program is that Kakutani feels that the book 1984, became a raging bestseller in 2017 because of the election of President Donald Trump. Now, I'm not surprised by that. And I just want to give you a few quotes from the article. And this will be our way of getting your mind focused on what this program is going to be about. So I'm breaking into the middle of the article, and here's what Kakutani says. She says, 1984 shot to number one on America's bestseller list this week after Kellyanne Conway, an advisor to President Trump, described demonstrable falsehoods told by the White House press secretary Sean Spicer regarding the size of the inaugural crowds as alternative facts. It was a phrase chillingly reminiscent for many readers of the Ministry of Truth's effort in 1984. She's talking about the book At Reality Control. So all of you that have been listening to our series on Orwell's 1984 know that we talked about the Ministry of Truth, and really the Ministry of Truth is actually the Ministry of Lies. And so here, this author is saying that, President Trump's administration is the Ministry of Truth, and they're already sponsoring all these lies. Okay, I'm going to skip down in the article and read another quote. She goes on to say, not surprisingly, 1984 has found a nervous readership in today's post-truth era. And what she means by this is she's saying that, hey, Now that President Trump has taken over, we now live in the post-truth era. And she's totally ignoring what happened in a previous administration for 8 years. And, you know, it's been proven many times that there were a lot of things, prevarications, fabrications came out during that administration as well. She goes on to say, it's an era in which misinformation and fake news have proliferated on the web. Russia is flooding the West with propaganda to affect elections and sow doubts about the democratic process. Poisonous tensions among ethnic and religious groups are fanned by right-wing demagogues, and reporters scramble to sort out a cascade of lies and falsehoods told by President Trump and his aides, from false accusations that journalists had invented a rift between him and the intelligence community when he had compared the intelligence agencies to Nazis, to debunk claims that millions of unauthorized immigrants robbed him of a popular vote majority. So here she's saying, again, he's talking about fake news and all these things happening. And, of course, she's putting all of the burden on President Trump and really is beginning to call him a Nazi or a fascist. And we know that happened. And we also know that a lot of these things have been disproved. She goes on, another quote, Orwell had been thinking about the novel that would become 1984 as early as 1944, when he wrote a letter about Stalin and Hitler and the horrors of the emotional nationalism and a tendency to disbelieve in the existence of objective truth because all the facts have to fit in with the words and the prophecies of some infallible Führer. So here she's literally beginning to call President Trump the Führer. And, of course, we know this has been going on now, since, 2017. Here's another quote, and this will be the last one I give you from this article. She's talking about, obviously, what's happened within President Trump's administration. She says, this sort of marginalization in 1984 speaks to some of the very fears scientists have expressed in response to reports that the Trump administration is scrutinizing studies and data published by researchers at the Environmental Protection Agency while placing new work on temporary hold. Similar concerns about an Orwellian consolidation and centralization of government media control have been expressed over administration efforts to curb the flow of information from several government agencies involved in environmental issues, and the possibility, as Politico reported, that the new White House might try to put its stamp on the Voice of America, the broadcasting arm that has long pushed democratic ideals across the world. So as you can see in this article, that the author is really promoting an awful lot of fear, and she's really comparing what was happening at the very early stages of, the Trump administration, what was really going on. Now, today, what I want to do is I want to help you see that there does exist a sinister 1984-type plan to shape your view of reality. And the most vicious culprit isn't President Trump and his administration. Now, I just want you to know that by saying this, I don't mean to imply that President Trump and his administration doesn't have problems. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is that the real 1984-type threat you need to be concerned about is really coming from left-leaning politicians and the left-supporting media. Now, of course, what they want is you to fear that the fascists have already taken over Washington, D.C. Now, that's not to say that Washington, D.C. doesn't have problems. But one thing you need to understand, and understand it very clearly, that your nightly news is not fair and balanced. In other words, you're only getting a part of the story. And again, I'm not here to, throw my support behind President Trump or any politician. What I'm just saying is we are concerned about you and concerned about the news that you are getting. And realize the quotes that I just read to you are really old news. I mean, that what she talked about in that article, remember that article is from 2017, so it's already a year old. But Stephen Fleury on the Trumpet Daily radio program is doing a masterful job of showing how the media and the left-leaning politicians prevaricate continually. They are literally spreading misinformation and distortions about what is happening in the United States. But we could also include in there what's going on in the United Kingdom and really also within the tiny nation of Israel. There is this left-leaning political force happening in all three countries. There's this left-leaning media, you know, trying to take control, you know, even in the tiny nation of Israel as well. Now, one thing that we want to just say here is the powerful left wants you to hear only their side. And that's really Orwellian, if we're going to be honest. And in fact, truthfully, if you want to really think about why did 1984 become so popular in 2017, it was the left's promotion of Orwell's 1984 that really made the book popular. And of course, they tied it always to Donald Trump, and that Donald Trump is a fascist, and Donald Trump is going to create this totalitarian state, when really the reverse might actually be true. It's the left, and it's the left-leaning media that really want to create that kind of a state. Now, what does this mean for you? It really means that you have a challenge, and that challenge is you have to make sure that you are taking the time to prove, you're taking the time to get to the bottom of the facts, and make sure that you know what you're getting is news. Are you getting fake news? Are you getting, false news? Are you getting the truth? And even with this latest school shooting in Florida, we know that one of the big media companies, CNN, was actually trying to control what questions one student was supposed to ask the media. I mean, that's control. That's the kind of things that are talked about in 1984, and it's interesting that here the left is pointing a finger at Trump, when really, if you're honest, the way my mother used to say, if you point a finger at someone else, there's three fingers pointing right back at you. And so that's really the way we need to look at it. But here's the point. The Ministry of Truth does already exist in our country. That's a reality. And remember, you know, in the book 1984, the Ministry of Truth is really the Ministry of Lies. It's just the opposite. It's that whole concept of doublethink. And the point that you need to understand is, do you know who's running that Ministry of Truth? And of course, you know, the left-leaning politicians want you to believe it's coming from the left, or not from the left, it's coming from the conservative side. And of course, that doesn't mean I'm saying that maybe there aren't some lies and prevarications on the conservative side, because, well, we're all human beings. And the point is, we are, you know, subject to making maybe critical mistakes in our facts, and sometimes just outright lies as well. But if you've been listening to our panel programs, you know, on 1984, I thought Derry Hope made a great statement in our last panel discussion of 1984, and we were talking about, you know, why you would even want to read 1984. And again, it is a disturbing book, and especially at the end when there's the torture scenes and what they do to Winston Smith is really quite disturbing. But remember, he stated that you should want to read Orwell's 1984 to understand where the USA is headed. And again, we could also include where the UK is headed and where Israel is headed in all of this as well. Now, the one thing that we can say is an absolute fact, and we heard this in 2016 during the election. We know that, former President Obama, we know that some of the other politicians along with him, we know that one of the politicians during the 2016 election who is an independent, member of Congress, and, you know, he's a socialist, he was calling for a revolution. So many on the left today are calling for a revolution. And what they want to get rid of most is the U.S. Constitution. And what that means, really, if we think about it, I mean, they're bringing up all these things that are wrong in America. They're bringing up all these conditions. You know, women aren't getting enough of their rights. You know, children aren't getting enough of their rights. You know, the people that have come here illegally are not getting their rights. And so they're calling for this revolution. There's too many rich people that have too much money, and that they should be giving their money to the poor. All of these things, you know, they're using these emotionally charged issues to get people all stirred up. And essentially what they're doing is they want to get rid of the rule of law. They want to get rid of the U.S. Constitution. And if we look at it honestly, if we look at the history, it is the U.S. Constitution that has given the American people more freedoms and more protections than any other nation in this world. There are people clamoring to get to America because of the personal freedoms and the protections that are here. And so we just have to ask the question, why do these left-leaning politicians want a revolution? I mean, look at Hollywood. Most of your, Oscar programs or the awards programs, it's all politicized. And again, it's all against conservative values. It's all against the American values that have been established in the country. So why do all these people want a revolution? And, you know, the reason is the majority of Americans didn't elect them into office. You know, they're upset. They're upset. And here, the left has this insatiable lust for power. And that's what's really going on, is instead of accepting reality that the majority of Americans voted in a conservative-leaning president, totally upset the Democratic Party, and now the way they want to get power is they want to get rid of the Constitution, they want to get rid of the laws in the land. And, you know, they want people to get so fomented and upset. Once you have a revolution, or once you get people upset, then you can take over. And this is, I think, one of the most chilling sections in Orwell's 1984. And this is all talked about, and it comes near the end of the book. And hopefully you've read this book and by now, and have at least been listening to the programs. But this whole section comes at the very end of the book when O'Brien is re-educating Winston Smith using horrendous torture. Now, again, I think it's really an incredibly, visceral scene, and of course it's very painful to read. But I also want you to remember that Winston is a kind of naive, philosophical kind of guy, and he believed that the party took control of the government because people can't govern themselves. Now, in the book, and I'm going to go to page 262 in the Signet Classic, and I'm going to read you a quote, but O'Brien sets him straight. And I'm going to try and read this maybe with the power that that Orwell wrote it, so that you can understand what I'm saying. Now, let me just start out. O'Brien had asked him some questions about why Winston thought the party was ruling. And this is a quote of Winston Smith at the very bottom of the book. He says, "You are ruling over us for our own good," he said feebly. Remember, he was being tortured, and he was very weak. He says, "You believe that human beings are not fit to govern themselves, and therefore..." Now, of course, the quote stops there. He said he started and almost cried out. A pang of pain had shot through his body. O'Brien had pushed the lever of the dial up to 35. So here, Winston is giving his observation of why the party was doing what it was doing. And, of course, he gets shocked, or some kind of a pain is sent through him, because that's not what the party believes. Here's what O'Brien returns against him. He says, "That was stupid, Winston, stupid." He said, "You should know better than to say a thing like that." He said he pulled back the lever and continued. He says, "Now I will tell you the answer to my question. It is this: the party seeks power continually for its own sake. We are not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power. Not wealth or luxury or long life or happiness, only power, pure power. What power means, you will understand presently." And so I'm going to skip part of this quote and go down to the end of the paragraph. He goes down and he says, power is not a mean, it's an end. Now listen to this, readers. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. The object of power is power. Now, do you begin to understand me? So that is, again, when I read that, I thought that's really chilling. But what made it so chilling is it's what's happening in America today. Now, the left means to obtain power, and the path to power to them is going to be through creating a state of lawlessness. Calling for a revolution against the system of government that paved the way for the USA to become a world superpower, and then the bashing of freedom, it just doesn't make any sense to rationally thinking people. But here's the point, and this is where I think Orwell got it true in the book. Any country afflicted with rebellion and revolution is easy pickings for a dictator. And we have to see that. You know, there's another part of the book where Winston Smith begins to realize that the party has no regard for law. And really, that is the state of America today. And we have to face that, is we are really living in a lawless society. And people do not want law. You know, and the left media, the left politicians, they want to get rid of, you know, the rule of law in this country. They want to get rid of American values that have really helped to make us great. But I don't want to discourage you. Is there something you can do about it? And that's the point, is even in a former program we talked that, you know, things are going to get pretty bad in the world for a while, but then there's going to be a big change coming. But is there something you can do about what's happening in America? And we could also include the UK and Israel as well. And the point is, yes, there is. There's something you could do. Now, what I'd like to offer you today is an insightful book that will help you understand why and what is happening in America. Now, it also provides the necessary information you need personally to protect yourself and family from a national breakdown that is sure to come. And it's already in process, by the way. Now, the title of the book is America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury. The book is about 45 pages long and has three chapters. And I just want to read you from the contents page and show you what these chapters are. And it's a really, really important book. And it's really helpful. And I know I've read it a couple times, and it's really helped me to understand what's happening out there in the world, the media world, also in politics. Chapter 1 is the hidden cause of society's deadly decline. And so this is probably the most important chapter, and it will show you why there's, you know, violence in the schools. It will show you why there's been this radical movement to, well, reconstruct the Constitution or destroy the Constitution. And there is a cause for it. Chapter 2 is Attack from Within. And it shows that people inside the government have been making massive changes outside of the Constitution. And they've been changing the way they do things. And it's all outside of the Constitution. It's outside of the rule of law that was set up by our founding fathers, who had experienced tyrannical law. And they set up our system of government to prevent that from happening, and that government is really being destroyed. And the third chapter is an attack on law. Now, it is, again, a great little book, and maybe we could call it a booklet, but it's probably one that you won't be able to put down, and it's one that will really help your thinking. Now, I want to read to you in terms of this whole idea of the attack on law. And even in Orwell's book, he knew there was this attack on law and there was no law. And so, again, it's just I just want to read a few paragraphs from here to get you interested in reading this book. And again, it it would be really profitable for you to do it. But there's one big issue right now on the American scene, especially, and this chapter 3 really does cover that issue, and it really is the issue of gun control. Now, we all know it's a very emotionally charged issue right now, and there isn't any of us in this country that our hearts don't go out to the families of the recent school shooting in Florida. But to really understand, we need to look behind the emotional issue and realize that can be exploited for a nefarious reason. I mean, are the media exploiting things that happen? And here's the big question. Could the left be using the school shootings to get rid of the Second Amendment? And again, it's for a sinister reason. Well, I want to just read. This is from page 35. So if you're going to order the booklet, you might want to write that down. So here's what Gerald Flurry writes. He says, look at the way the administration is handling the gun control debate in America today. Now, the administration he's referring to was the President Obama's administration. He said, on December 14th, 2012, a young man named Adam Lanza killed 20 6- to 7-year-old children. He had some serious mental problems. He also looked like a young girl. His parents were divorced. He was living with his mom, and his father wasn't around. Nearly every time a tragedy like this happens, there is a dysfunctional family in the background. Something is wrong with our families. And the same is true for the young man that just committed this atrocity in Florida. He had no family. He had no really good family life. Now let's get back to the book. That was my quote. Let's get back to the book. Yet what is the solution? According to the politicians and the media, ban the guns. The radical left wants to take away people's guns, at least the guns of law-abiding people. The criminals are not about to give up their guns. And that's a whole factor in this whole issue that people don't want to admit. The criminals have the guns. They're going to keep the guns. And even if they take some guns away, they know how to find new ones. Let's continue now with another quote. After football player Jovan Belcher killed his girlfriend and then killed himself, Bob Costa said on an NFL broadcast on NBC that this wouldn't have happened if Belcher hadn't had a gun. A linebacker is big enough that he could have killed her without a weapon, but they're going after guns. I'm told that NBC has some of the bloodiest movies on television, yet it's trying to tell Americans to get rid of the guns. Why don't we start with getting rid of the bloody television programs? Is it possible that's a bigger problem? Well, we should all admit that is a bigger problem. Now Gerald Flurry continues. The Second Amendment in the U.S. protects the people's rights to bear arms, but for what? If you listen to the left, you would never know. To hear them talk about it, its purpose is so Americans could go out and shoot deer. That isn't the reason for the Second Amendment at all. The main point was to protect the citizens from government tyranny. The government might decide to take over, and if you don't have guns or something to defend yourself, what are you going to do unless you have God's protection? Why won't the radical liberals mention that? That is the real world that our founding fathers came out of. That is the real world today. But the liberals won't even mention that. Oh, please, they say. You know that can never happen. And that's the point, readers and listeners, that we have to really face is, could there be a tyrannical government takeover? Now, this liberal media wants you to believe it's going to be Donald Trump. I don't know what the future of Donald Trump is. But I do know, if you really understand the liberal left and you understand liberal left politicians, they really want control of the government. They really want to control things. Now, Gerald Flurry continues. He says, but government tyranny is routine in human history and they know it. Why are they so deceitful? Is it because they have an ulterior motive? Let's not be naive and think something like that could never happen here. Our forefathers weren't stupid. They wanted to guarantee America's freedom. They really knew that God was a God of freedom. He wants us to be free. That's a gift from God, and they understood that. Do you remember how we gained our freedoms? A lot of people bled, and a lot of people died to give us the freedoms we have today, and they wouldn't have gotten it without guns unless God just gave it to them. I wonder how many Americans even know that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. It is similar to how the Ten Commandments is the supreme law of God's church and the foundations of the entire Bible. It works beautifully if you just apply it. Now, that's just a section from the book to really get you interested, but to me and for me, that really, you know, is an answer to this whole gun question that's happening right now. And it really is a simple answer, but it's a workable solution. Now, remember, Orwell wrote 1984 because he was afraid this type of totalitarian government would take over, you know, very quickly. And so, again, we have to be warned. And you know, there is really something that we can take out of this book. Now, in terms of America Under Attack, you can download or request a copy of America Under Attack at thetrumpet.com. You can also obtain and request a copy of Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, at the same website. Now remember, Herbert Armstrong's book shows you about the coming utopia that Jesus Christ will establish at his return. And what a fantastic new world that will be. Truly, humanity has much to look forward to. So I hope you've gotten some value out of reading Orwell's 1984. I know that I have. Well, that means we're out of time for today. Next time, I'll provide you an introduction to the wildly popular young adult dystopian fiction series, The Hunger Games. So remember now, our next book that we'll be reading is by Susan Collins. The title is The Hunger Games. It is available at Amazon.com for about $8. If you're not a Prime member, it might cost you a little bit more, but you still have plenty of time to pick up the book and start reading. And it is a much easier read than 1984. So please write me any comments you may have to JBL at PCOG.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at JBLiterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. And remember, you can leave me a comment at Facebook. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.